Hey, everybody. Okay, that's better. Welcome. We're doing one of these again. So I've got a different one today. Because I've been trying to write shit and because, I've got some playing time and whatever. And a writing project kind of works like this. You start thinking about it and then more things come up. I think this is why... like writing a memoir is so appealing to so many people, because it's kind of interesting. When you start thinking about the past, you remember these things, and then you think, I don't think I would have ever remembered that had I not been, sort of actively seeking out the past this way. And then you start to think, I'm not going to remember that in 10 years unless I commit it to some kind of super memory. Which can be like writing it down, right? Interestingly enough, I was hearing at the workshops, we were talking about some different stuff, and one of the people was talking about a person they know who works as a sort of book doctor. And so what this is somebody who, let's say you want to write a book, they kind of cheerlead slash... set deadlines, stuff like that, right? And she mostly, I guess, does this for people writing memoirs. And it's like a lot of fabulously wealthy older people, because basically they can afford it. And then also, rarely does that ever get finished. And so whatever. But I don't know. I wonder if my great-grandpa had written a memoir... or let's say a diary. Would I want to read it? Like, I'd like to think... well, okay, I'm not the kind of person who thinks this way about himself. I was going to say I'd like to think I would, but I'm not that person. But I think a lot of people would like to think that they're that person, right? That they're like, I'll read my grandpa's memoir. And so maybe I would. I guess the thing is, like... there'd have to be a hook in there. It's funny because I guess for me to be a familial thing of interest, it has to also be just a thing of interest in general. So in other words, would I read just some person's memoir if it wasn't, a good story? Probably not. So would I read my grandpa's? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. And I think that everyone's got, an interesting story. But there's then also the combination of, an interesting story and they do a good job telling it, right? And so maybe most people's grandpas have one good enough story that they've sort of told enough times over their life that it's interesting, right? Like, oh, grandpa did this or grandpa did that. But I don't know. I don't know if I would. So anyway, in the process of doing this, though, I was thinking that a project I'm working on is just remembering a bunch of stories about my dad, because there's a lot of crazy shit. And it's like every so often I'll be talking to Poonmaster Flex and I'll be like, have I ever told you about this? And she'll be like, no. And then I'll tell her and she'll just be like, the way you grew up is so weird. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about skiing. And I was just, I can't remember how we got to talking about it, but she was saying that, she's like, it's so weird because I was telling her how we went skiing like every other weekend when I was a little kid, right? And, my dad had this condo that was super close to Keystone. It was walking distance. I mean, it was walking distance for a small child carrying skis. So you can imagine that's pretty fucking close. And was probably pretty fucking expensive. But, and then cut to 10 years later, things are really different. And it's like, we're living with our mom, our dad's in jail. My mom's income, the first, maybe year or something after he was in jail was like our... at my mom's house, the low point economically... where she's like, oh, that was the winter. I didn't turn on the heat at all. And you're just like, oh, my God. Yeah, I remember it being quite cold. But, you know, she did that mom thing, and she just kind of... She didn't really tell us a lot about how we didn't have any fucking money. It was just apparent that we had no money. Or, you know, I don't know. I think that you just kind of think of your parents, like, not turning on the heat as, like, yeah, that's what parents do. They argue, like, don't waste money on comfort. But the reality is probably more like, maybe they just do it because they're used to these shitty times, right? Hang on, there's a fire truck coming. This fire truck had one of those, I don't know if you've seen these, those spinny wheels of light on the front. That just seems like meant to distract and disorient or something. Like, what are you trying to hypnotize me in a disco right now? Or are you trying to get through? Because that just seems like something I look at and I'm like, oh, look at this swirling medallion of light. Now there's a little traffic jam happening that's really this one lady's fault, and I don't know why she's doing it. Anyway, we had a real life of contrast, because we grew up, like, our dad had a lot of money when we were kids. But we grew up at our mom's house where there wasn't a lot of money. And then, like, there were certain things, you know, that our dad was real good about money-wise. I mean, he would, like, buy us bikes and shit. He always was saying, maybe I'll just get into this. So I have this whole list of things that I wrote down that are things that just memories I had that I was like, well, just write them out and then figure out which ones turned into something. And so definitely one of the memories I have is that he was always telling us, like, I'm not going to buy you guys cars, but I'm going to pay for your college. Which, of course, at the time, I mean, I was probably 10 when he said that, so I was like, okay, because it didn't really mean anything to me, and I had no idea about the difference of paying for college versus paying for a car. And, you know, cut to when I was actually in college, and it's like, we were broke enough, and I got good enough grades that I got this special scholarship for smart poor kids. So there you go. But anyway, and it was kind of like, you know, the smart person would look at that promise and be like, you know what? That's fair. That's more than fair. And also, that's probably going to even out for me at the very least, if not come out on top. I mean, whatever college costs these days, I don't know. Let's say inexpensive, you'd spend like $5,000 in a semester, so $10,000 a year, so $40,000. I mean, that's quite a car at the end of the day. That's a whole lot of car. That's about six of my car. So, but, it, you know, knowing what I know, it's like I should have... I know there would have been no convincing him, but I wish I had just at one point made a plea for, like, maybe you should just give me a car instead, or just get me a car and I'll drive the siblings around or something. You know what I mean? Tried a little harder to pitch for it because it was like, that was gone. That was over. But so that was an unfulfilled promise. Sorry, I'm trying to look at these things. I have them kind of taped up. I think I'm sure that I told the story about the time he lit the garage on fire as a scoutmaster. So that's, you know, probably not going to happen. I remember, so we would go skiing a lot, you know, talking about that. And he had this thing called a mini disc player. And I'm guessing most people don't remember Minidisc because it was a format that completely tanked. But it was kind of fucking awesome. Because what it was like, it looked like a floppy disk. You know, those 3.5-inch floppy disks. Which, by the way, I never understood why. Because, like, all right, so the original floppy disks, those big black thin ones that could hold, like, one smallish Word document... And then they were full, and also it's like if you rewrote it 3 or 4 times, it's like, ah, this is corrupted, you know, it's fucked. Those were floppy. Then the ones that were stiff were also called floppy disks, but they weren't floppy. There was nothing floppy about them. I mean, I have a penis. I know the difference between floppy and hard. Those were not floppy. But whatever. Floppy disks. So mini disk was this format where it was like a tiny floppy disk, like maybe a third the size of a floppy disk. And they looked very cool and futuristic. Like it had like a tiny CD inside of this see-through floppy disk looking thing. And what you could do is you could record tracks. So you hook a mini disk console basically up to your CD player. Like, so this is back in the day when stereos were a thing, right? Like when I had, okay, I've got my stereo console, usually with a radio tuner. Into that, I plug in my CD player. If I had a fancy surround sound system in my home, that would also go in. You know, everything kind of goes into these uniting consoles. And, you know, which we've traded. You know what's weird about that? We've traded that in for a technology that's not better, but is simpler. There's no wires, but it doesn't sound great most of the time. It's like Bluetooth speaker, and it's like, I mean, it sounds okay, but it's not awesome. I don't know. Why did we think that it would work to have, you know, if you have a speaker, a Beats by Dre, which is the size of like a coffee cup, that'll sound just as good as a huge subwoofer. It's like, it's not going to sound as good, but whatever. So you could hook it up and you could basically make a mixtape, right? And what was really great about it is you could rewrite them. So this was before CD burning was really a thing. I mean, it was possible, but it was not like a consumer product. That was still maybe, it would be like 5 or 6 years before I had access to a CD burner. How about that? So, as I'm, I get this mini disc player, or he's got a mini disc player. And he got a new one, so he let me have his old one. And I got the console from him, too, so I could take it, because all my stereo shit was at my mom's house. My dad got me that stuff, but I moved it to my mom's house when I figured out, like, I don't spend any time at my dad's house, and so I don't want anything to stay here. So I made some mixes and whatever, but, because I would listen to him when I was snowboarding. Which replaced my previous thing that I had for snowboarding, which was a single tape, and it was two songs from a Blur album back and forth. You know, it was song number two, Woohoo, and, like, another song. And there may have been a third song in there occasionally, which I usually skipped. But anyway, once I tired of that, it was nice to switch and have, like, oh, I have, like, a whole mix CD, and I can change what's on here and stuff, and it's awesome. And it was almost skip-proof. This was the one thing, is like a tape player for an activity like snowboarding was superior to a CD player. Because a tape player didn't skip. But it did run out of batteries, and you could tell, and you're like, this is starting to run out of energy, and I feel like it's affecting my energy level somehow. That's weird. So, I only remember specifically that he had one mini disc. You could buy mini discs in the record store. And it's probably one of those things where, like, you know how not a ton of movies were released on Laserdisc? I'm guessing this was a similar situation. And so I remember, though, he had one branded one, and I'm sure he had more, but I specifically remember one. And I want you to just take a minute and guess. I mean, he would have been like 40 years old, white dude, listening to this while he's skiing. So, you know, something high energy. Just take a moment. Take a moment to yourself and think it through. Did you guess CNC Music Factory? Because if you didn't guess CNC Music Factory, you're incorrect. Because it was CNC Music Factory. Bam, 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 bam. God knows what else is on that album. We all know the one song, right? But does anyone know? Is anyone like a CNC Music Factory fan? And also, it's just so weird to me to imagine. It's weird to imagine your dad, and he's got headphones on, and you're like, I don't know, I thought my dad would be listening to, like, metal or something. But that was not, my dad was not, he didn't have good taste in music, to say the least. One of the other things on here is, like, the way he listened to music, for sure. So, like, he would get a CD. Now, I wish I'd known, like, these are some of the moments where I wish I knew more about my dad. Because I'm very curious what his music selection process was. Like, it seems almost random. It seems almost like whatever, like, he would roll the dice before going in a record store and just be like, I'm going to walk to the click-clack sixth row and take the click-clack seventh column in and click-clack the ninth CD down. He has two dice here, by the way. So I was like, I don't think there's a nine on the dice. That would be an awful lot of numbers. Little holes drilled in them. Because, okay. Let's go back in time. Now, he would get an album and just listen to it front to back over and over until something prevented that. Until somebody else stepped in and put a stop to it. So, he had, one of the first I remember was definitely Cake, Fashion Nugget. Which was one that at least I think we could all agree on, because we all felt like it was pretty good. And, you know, even now I'm like, it has something. I mean, it's got a variety of songs. It's got a decent length. It's, you know, not horrible. It's not like, it's not like some of his other choices. For example, the artist Poe, P-O-E, look it up. If you don't know it, just look it up. I can't. There was a song about Johnny, Angry Johnny. This is Jezebel in Hell. And I'm guessing that there was a lot of sort of like, it seemed like the kind of album that now I would say, okay, so this is like a young person making music who's just read a bunch of like Nietzsche for the first time or something and is really excited to tell us all about everything she's learned. She later did an album, though, that was like a concept album for the book House of Leaves, I think. It was some kind of soundtrack for House of Leaves. I've always been curious about that. Maybe I should check that out sometime. Maybe we should do that on here in the future. So anyway, he had Poe. That was a bad one. That was the first one, and maybe the only one, but I think there were two times this happened where my older brother Ian, unbeknownst to me in the case of Poe, so we drove everywhere. My dad had a Suburban, and then he got a second Suburban. And one of the back seats in the Suburban had an armrest that you could flip open, and inside it was like a jack and a tire iron and stuff in case you, you know, blew a tire and had to change the fucking tire. And so what he ended up doing was he somehow got a hold of this thing, and he just fucking threw it down in with the jack and the tire iron and all that shit and closed it up in there. And you would never see it unless you were looking for it in there, or you were like taking all the shit out and you'd be like, what's the CD doing in here? Why is Poe in here? So that was the first one. And then there was another. Savage Garden was another one. Now, Savage Garden happened during a period when like our visitation was a little bit awry, because he was going through his second divorce. He was going through his second divorce / third marriage, which was kind of like a marriage that just morphed into a divorce almost instantaneously. And it was Savage Garden. I remember the CD was at the house, and I took it, and I was listening to it downstairs, because I saw the cover, and I was like, I don't know, this looks like some kind of rockin', maybe melancholy rock kind of thing. I was like, I don't know, these guys look like 10 years ago they would have been in a Nirvana or something. That's how I remember the cover being. I remember it being like, it probably kind of emo looking. And boy, was I surprised when I heard what was on there. And I was like, listening to the songs, I remember my younger brother was like, go to this song. This is like the famous song from the CD. And I was like, okay. So I go to that and I was like, you know, it's I Want to Kiss You on a Mountain and da 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 da. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this? Why is our dad listening to this? Why is this in our house? And, you know, my dad heard me playing it downstairs and was like, hey, I want that CD. You know, could take it in the car. And so this was the thing, right? Because if you got in the car to go with him to the mountains and he's got a new CD, it's not like he'd be like, I got a new CD, check it out. You would just sort of be hearing these songs, and either it would be something you were totally familiar with, or it would be something you were completely unfamiliar with and were like, ah, fuck. I remember, too, I think there was an issue with Cake, if I remember correctly, that there was a song that where basically the whole chorus is just, shut the fuck up, and our stepmom did not care for that. And so that put a stain on that CD as a whole, which I was like, wait, let's be fair. Could be a lot worse. He had Van Morrison. Oh, Savage Garden was the other one that ended up in the Tire Iron Zone, if I remember correctly. I'm sure Ian can correct me via Twitter if necessary, but the point being, he kind of did the thing that needed to be done. He was the hero of the day if we were going by a Metallica song. Anyway, I get like real jealous though, because like, okay, then the other one that I super significantly remember, there was other stuff in there, right? I remember a Van Morrison CD in there. Which I guess that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, he's got some good songs, right? But, I don't know, Into the Mystic? That's one of his, isn't it? I remember that one going quite a bit. But the one I really remember was, like, Lone Star. Which, this was, like, the sort of nascent period of the country pop, bumper sticker country music. You know, where it's kind of like a bumper sticker slogan put to music. And I just remember the chorus was like, basically, you know, who's gonna jump right out of their shoes? Hang out of the window for a better view. Da-na-na-na-na-na, walking down the street, any man with a heartbeat. So basically it's like, who's not gonna check out this fucking babe? Or who's gonna check out this babe walking down the street? Any man with a heartbeat. And oh, it was bad. It was bad. And I wasn't even picturing this babe. It's like why this song didn't really work. I'm not picturing a hot babe. I was picturing like guys just like swinging out, because it's like hang out of the window for a better view. I was picturing them, you know, like Barrel of Monkeys style, climbing out of a tenement window to dangle by an arm's length, you know. And I guess they're looking at this babe, but I'm not picturing the babe. I'm picturing them just doing this fucking crazy thing that seemed really dangerous. And wasn't even really thinking about the end result there of like, oh, in order to see this babe. And, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, they probably meant like I'm in a truck going down the street and I kind of like lean out the window, which is a far cry from hanging on for dear life, because I'm like, well, my arm's like 3 feet long. I can get a little closer. Extra 36 inches of view here would be not too bad. I don't know. I always grew up like, or not grew up, but I got later in life, I was very jealous of other people who, you know, because everybody's dad has their thing, right? And my dad's music was shit. I mean, there was, like, Cake was probably the one redeeming, the most redeeming by far. I know he had, like, Meatloaf's Bat Outta Hell, but I don't think I ever heard it. I just remember seeing the cover and being, like, traumatized by it. Because I always thought, like, is this what makes you go to hell, is, like, listening to stuff like this? You know, I was very afraid of going to hell. because I was a kid, and I did not. I think that not going to church ever made me a lot more scared of hell, because I did not understand what it was enough to understand that it, like, to form an opinion on it or anything like that. I think it just fucked me up big time. So anyway, I was always jealous, you know, like I had a coworker and she was saying, oh yeah, it's Bob Seger was her dad's guy. And I was like, all right, I can get down with that. Or Poon Master Flex, like her dad really liked Jerry Lee Lewis and also really liked Alice Cooper. And I was like, see, this is like the kind of thing I could get behind. But I had none of that. I had none of that. It was all just, it was all contemporary and all garbage. I don't know. I feel like he had vitamin C at one point. Maybe vitamin C might have been one of the ones that ended up in the... I feel like it was vitamin C. And what happened was our dad had that one and he didn't even put it into the car. And my brother had already disposed of it because he was like, fuck no. Like, I'm not even entertaining this one. This one doesn't even get a chance because fuck that. And he was totally right. Kind of an asshole thing to do, but on the other hand, it's not like our dad was the kind of guy that you could reason with and say, like, all right, if we do this vitamin C CD, can you play it, like, one time all the way through, and then we can listen to something else? It was never that. It was like, let's just listen to it nonstop. And he would not, I don't think he would have been very amenable to the idea of, like, can we just play this once and then call it a day? I think he would have been like, no, I'll play it as much as I want, which is going to be a lot. So I think it was the easiest thing. Even though he was always pissed that the CD was gone, it was always like the best thing. I suppose the statute of limitations is over. So I do have another little story about that same car. So, you know, my brother got his driver's license first. And he could drive the car around occasionally. Like, our dad would let him take the car and go places. And my brother was like, he's since calmed down a lot. But he was kind of like a lead-footed driver when we were kids. Like, I remember, I mean, we're in this old, old station wagon that must have had like 250,000 miles on it. And he's on like a residential-ish road. You know, it was a small town then. The speed limit must have been 30 if it was... It was 30 if it was a mile. I don't... Did I do that backwards? It was 30 if it was 100. And he was... He got pulled over by the cop. He was going like 65 miles an hour. And the cop was like, what are you doing? You know, and like, that's way too fast. And he... You know, my brother is getting his license and registration out, and he's scared shitless. Like, his hand is shaking, and he's, like, trying to get his stuff out of his wallet. And the cop goes away and comes back. And I think to teens out there, this might be a tip. Don't listen to this show. But the other tip I would say is, if you look like you're pissing yourself scared when the cop pulls you over, I wonder if that's more likely to get you out of a ticket. Because he was, like, cold-busted on that one. And, like... The cop comes back, and there was a funeral procession going by at that time. And he was just like, if you don't want to end up like that, stop speeding. And let us go. And we're all in the car, and I was like, you know, none of us really knew how any of this worked. And I was like, wait a minute. So did you not get a ticket? And he's like, I don't think so. But, you know, I think we were speculating, like, do they send it to you later? Like, do you get it right then? How does this work? There was not enough relief. And, you know, it was also weird because you're young, and so you get pulled over that close to your house, and you're like, oh, God, what if our mom drives by? She's going to be like, what the fuck is going on here? Anyway, so he was a little bit more, let's say, an adventurous driver back then. And we lived on this street where there were some big, big dips on the street. So you had to kind of like speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. And he decided a couple times, he was with a friend, and they went over and back over the dips basically at like 40 miles an hour. I mean, just fast as shit. And I remember our dad gets back in the car, and we're all in the car. And at the time, I did not know that this had happened. And I don't think any of us knew, except for my brother, that something had happened. But we're in the car all together, and he's driving. And he's, like, hitting the brakes a lot, and he's just like, this is weird. Like, it was making... He hit the brakes, and he would sort of slam on the brakes, and when it got close to a stop, it made this sort of sproinging sound that you're like... God, I don't know enough about cars to know what that was, but I know it was not good, and it was definitely caused by going over the dips so fast. But then also... We go over one of the dips, this time at normal speed, 10 miles an hour, maybe less. And there's like a center console on the ceiling in this car, and the whole thing just fucking fell down. And so it was much, much later that I found out that this center console had fallen down after one of these dips adventures. And so what they had done is just kind of jerry-rigged it back just so delicately. With the sort of thinking of, like, we can't fix this, but what we can do is rig it so it makes it far enough that something else, quote-unquote, causes it to fall off. Now, I feel like I wasn't really involved at the time, because obviously I don't know anything about it. But I feel like my brother got away with this, but I feel like my dad must have known that something was awry here. It's like, you know, the last time I got in my car, the brakes worked normally, and the thing that was attached to the ceiling was still attached to the ceiling. Now I get in the car, I drive a block, the brakes are fucked up, and we go over a dip, and the console just fucking falls off the ceiling. So that was another one of their little, I don't know. It was like there's a little teenage rebellion. I wish he was here to talk about it. I'll have to ask him about it, what he remembers a little bit more. That's part of writing this thing, too, is kind of deciding. I was like, maybe I should, like, confer with my brothers and sister and stuff. And then I was like, you know, I think I should just do what I remember the way I remember it. Because, I mean, that's... If someone remembered something completely differently... Like, for example, if my brother was like, you were there when we went over the dips all fast and shit, I'd be like, I don't remember that. But, you know, I guess that's possible. And it would throw everything into doubt, but I still wouldn't think I had been there. I would just think he thought I'd been there. So I don't know. It's like, I'm sure that they could fill in details and stuff for me, but I think overall it would be kind of like, I would just think they were wrong. Even though my memory is not that good. But I don't know, I think there's something to that, too, about, like, how we remember things and why, and what we remember and why we remember it. So anyway, that's a tale. That's a tale once told to many folks. I don't know what that meant. This is just quick, but I remember that we would get pizza. This was like a common weekend at Dan's house. We get there on Friday, and we, you know, ask to eat pizza for dinner. And if he relents to that, a couple of us would walk to Little Caesars from our house and go pick it up. And this turned into a very controversial thing because let's say I go walking with a friend, or Ian goes walking with a friend, right? And they're going to go pick up the pizza. And then they come back, and, you know, they've helped themselves to some of the crazy bread on the way. Well, that's a controversy, because it's like, you got more than your share of crazy bread, and also, you got to eat first. But on the other hand, it's like, well, they did go get it, so that's something. I don't know. It was a tricky one. This was a political minefield that we all had to navigate together. I'm trying to see my list here. It's a little bit difficult at the moment. Give me one second. I'm sure I'll find something good. Okay. my mom told me some stories that I don't know if I ever told on here about their time together. I think she was telling me this last summer when we were going to Arizona for my brother's wedding. I don't know why we were talking about this, and Poonmaster Flex was there. And she was talking about the first apartment they lived in together and how it was just like a complete dump. Like, you know, she was just saying, and not that the apartment was a dump, but it was just like trashed everywhere. Shit was just everywhere. Actual garbage everywhere. Like, he didn't take out the garbage. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. It was kind of like a weird... With the way things turned out, if things had turned out differently, it'd be like, he was an eccentric fella. With the way things turned out, it was like, he was always kind of crazy. And maybe preparing for that bum life a little bit more than we thought. So she's saying it's like their apartment is all fucked up. And then his parents were going to come visit. And so she was like, she had been sort of cleaning all the time, right? Because she'd been trying to keep up with it. But then she stopped because she was like, you know what? I'm just enabling this. I need to stop doing this until it gets to the point where he's like, why is our apartment so filthy? We shouldn't live like this. And then she'd be like, I agree. Let's clean up together. But then in the middle of this strike, or, you know, a couple weeks into this strike, which she was like, this went way longer than I thought it would. And he never said anything. He never said a word like, oh my God, why is our apartment so fucked up looking? It kind of backfired on her. My mom has a history of that. It backfired on her, though, because his parents came to visit, and then they were like, what the fuck are you guys doing? As any rational person would. And this is, like, backfired on my mom before, because I remember she made, like, a chore chart when we were kids, and you could, you know, we could earn an allowance by doing chores, right? So it'd be like, empty the dishwasher, 10 cents, and it was like, you could mark as a little spreadsheet on the fridge. And you could mark the chores you'd done and all that shit. But basically, we just stopped doing chores because it was like, I'd rather be broke. And also, I mean, I remember in retrospect, too, like, mowing the lawn was a dollar, and that seemed worth it. Because you're like, a dollar is an amount that's an amount. But 10 cents is not great. And it's hard to explain to a kid, like, well, you do it every night this week and you'll have 70 cents. And you're like, I mean, I think I'd rather not have the 70 cents, to be honest with you, than do the dishes every day. What are you, a lunatic? And so we just basically stopped doing any chores, so she just kind of had to be like, well, that didn't work at all. I think she thought it would work. I think it would have worked if the amounts had been higher. And maybe if there was something we were trying to, like, buy, other than, like, I just want to spend quarters at the arcade. And if our grandma wouldn't just give us quarters for the arcade, that would probably make a difference. She wouldn't just let me borrow her coin purse and go into Tilt and play a video game all fucking day. So anyway, my mom had this other story, too, of... So they were living in Texas, and she hated living in Texas. So they moved out to Texas because that was where my dad was doing his residency at a hospital. And they were in Lubbock, Texas, which she fucking hated. Because she was like... It was the kind of, like, that small town where, like, the thing to do is go to the high school football game. Like, the whole town turns out for the high school football game. And she hated that. I mean, I could see why. That would be a difficult transition coming from Chicago, where there's, like, a million things to do and stuff. And then, and you know, she graduated college and shit. And then she's like, well, here I am. And she's just kind of homemaking, I guess. And she told us, like, because I asked her one time, kind of like, why are you having kids? Like, why did you decide to have kids? I mean, I'm just curious. And she was like, we were in Texas, and I'd always wanted to have kids, and we were in Texas, and I was just kind of bored. and figured, like, now's as good a time as any. And I was like, wow, okay. Wow. Unusual reasoning, but not bad, I guess. She was very careful to slot in the, well, I'd always wanted to have kids, and now is a good time, as opposed to just being like, I don't know, I was fucking bored, and just figured I'd do something crazy that I would regret forever, mildly. So they're down in Texas, and they go home to Chicago for, like, a visit, a holiday, something like that. And my dad insists that they bring back on the plane, like, two giant pizzas, like two Lou Malnati's pizzas. So it's these huge, those Chicago-style pizzas. I feel like lately, Chicago-style pizza has been getting this bad rap that it's, like, not good. And everyone's like, this is not all it's cracked up to be and all that shit. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, because it's fucking great. Like, if you eat that and you're not happy, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what to tell you. I would like to see what kind of pizza you like. If you're like, the Chicago-style pizza is not very good. And everyone talks about it as Chicago-style versus New York-style, right? But that's like talking about cake versus pie. It's like, yeah, this cake is a lousy pie. No shit. Well, that pie is a lousy cake. I mean, that it you can't... They're not the same beast. They're completely different things. You gotta, like, chill out on the Chicago versus New York pizza. It's all pizza. We're all on the same team. Team pizza. Okay? Take it easy. Take it fucking easy, you fucks. So anyway, he insists that they bring, like, two huge Lou Malnati's pizzas on the plane. And she's like... And, you know, he got, like, the stinkiest toppings, and it's, like, stinking up the entire airplane with pizza. Like, the whole thing smelled like a fucking pizzeria on the plane for this, like, four-hour flight or whatever. And he's just kind of, like, oblivious to the whole thing. I always thought it was such a weird image to imagine my parents going through the airport with this, like, deep-dish pizza. I think about it a lot because in Portland, a lot of times people will go to Voodoo Donut. They'll get, like, a dozen donuts, and they'll be in the airport with that big pink box. You know, they're bringing it back for whoever, which I get. Like, that's pretty fun and whatever. But, like, donut is a lighter smell that doesn't suffer over time the way that pizza does. I mean, I feel like by the time you get home with... Jesus Christ. I hate how, like... Why is it every time you go by a truck, it, like, fucking... almost shatters your windshield with a rock. And no one has figured out how to make this not happen. Like, no one has figured out... I mean, I've seen many a bicycle that has a fender that seems to keep people's backs dry. Is this not the same principle? Is it that we don't know how to do it, or we're just not going to? What's going on here? Anyway. It's just... quite an image to me, imagining them in the airport together with these huge pizzas that probably weigh, like, I mean, they're not heavy, but they're 5 pounds of pizza or something like that, which is a lot of pizza. 5 pounds isn't a lot when you pick up a dumbbell and you're like, I'm going to do a curl. But when you're, like, carrying a 5 pound pizza around, you're like, this is a lot of fucking pizza. 5 pounds, not a lot of dumbbell, a whole hell of a lot of pizza. Also, every time I'm on the highway at night, I see a cigarette butt, like, skating along the ground. And I'm just like, how are people still doing that? Can I tell you what my main complaint about smoking at this point? My main complaint about smoking is not smoking, and it's not people who smoke, and it's not the cost. It's that people don't consider throwing a cigarette butt on the ground or out as, like, littering. They don't see a problem with that. They're like, well, this is fine because it's tiny. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Like, you're an asshole. If you smoke and you just throw it, and it's like they're always doing it out of the car. And I'm like, you know you reek of cigarettes and your car reeks of cigarettes. Like, what difference do you think it's going to make if you put that shit out? And then you could throw it out when you get where you're going. It's like, oh, well, that's out the window, so it doesn't matter anymore. Also, it's like, how many fucking brush fires have to start from that shit before people are like, eh, maybe I'll hold on to it. Maybe I'll just keep this little guy. I don't understand how they always seem to figure out how these, like, forest fires and shit got started. It seems like there's a forest fire consuming an entire mountain somewhere, and everyone's running around trying to put it out, and, like, you know, these firefighters are dying, and all this crazy shit is going on, and people are, you know, putting sandbags by their houses or rinsing their roofs down or whatever. And then, you know, in the middle of that, they're like, well, it turns out it was because some kids were playing with fireworks. And I'm like, how do they know that? Who figured that out already? And how? What is going on? Is there some contingent of people who are like, well, we're responsible for figuring out how it started, and we figured out we would just start doing it right now? And if you, like, if they can figure out how a forest fire started, what hope is there of, like, trying to burn down your restaurant to collect the insurance? That seems impossible. If they can figure out, oh, this motherfucker started, you know, threw a cigarette out his window and started this forest fire at mile marker 214, how are you ever going to hope to burn something down on purpose and get away with it? That seems crazy. I don't know. Just put your restaurant close to the highway. Just make a trail of gas from that to somewhere around the highway, and I'm sure eventually a cigarette will hit it and just fucking torch the place. So there you go. That was a tale of my parents that just morphed into me yelling about a thing. I mean, that's kind of the nature of this show, right? And God, am I tired right now. My God. I am so tired. All right. Trying to think of what else I got here. I'm kind of trying to... Oh, I could go back home if I take this exit. Just go straight home and be like, well, that's my adventure for the day. See you all later. Ta-ta. Ta-ta. I was telling Poon Master Flex how crazy it was because, like, you know, she's like, I'd like to go skiing someday. And I was like, we could do that. Like, we still can. And I was saying, like, back in the day, absolutely nobody wore a helmet when they went skiing. Like, this was unheard of. This was something professional skiers did. You know, like Olympic skiers did because they had to. Or, you know, because it was, like, more aerodynamic because they wore a helmet that's, like, made for a superhero. But, like, the average person did not do this. Ever. Ever, ever. And, I don't know, it's just weird. And then I remember I had a snowboarding helmet. I took a really good header. I have this memory of that. That's one of my dad's memories. I was, like, the first two times you go snowboarding is basically, like, just a fucking fall fest. And by that I do not mean, like, an Oktoberfest where you have fun beers and there's crunchy leaves. I mean, like, you're just falling constantly. And hard. There's this thing you can do called catching an edge, and it's kind of hard to describe, but imagine you're standing on a rug, and someone is standing behind you holding the end of the rug and just whips it out from under your feet, and you just go flying face first on the floor. There's a lot of falling that's like that. So I took a pretty good backwards fall onto my head. Like, straight onto my head. And it was like, okay, there is a situation here where there's a towing situation going on here. Where it's like, it's hooked up to the front. There's a car in the front that's towing a car. And the tow situation does not look regulation because the cars are like 6 inches from each other. And then there's a car behind that car also with a tow set up to the back of the middle car. So it's a three-car tow, the middle car being the towed car. It's a human centipede tow. Doesn't seem like a great idea. I mean, if the front car is going 65 and the back car is going 63, then the front car is kind of just pulling the back car too, isn't it? Or if the front, the back car is going like 65 and the front car is going 63, it's kind of like pushing the front car, which seems even worse stability-wise to me. I don't know. This doesn't sound like a good idea. I don't know if I approve of what they're doing. Anyway, it was a so I take this fall on the, you know, the bunny slope. That's like the practice run. I don't know why it's called that, but it is. And so I take a fall, and I just hit my head so hard. And I kind of like, I recognize this now as being mildly concussed, having experienced this a couple other times in life. And, you know, when you hit your head like really hard, sound turns funny. It turns like everything's kind of far away, and it's like a little bit like that put a shell up to your ear feeling and sound, and like there's a pressure, but it's not bad. Here's the thing about hitting your head. It's not really painful. It's like your body doesn't pay attention to that part. It's just like, you know, at first when you hit your head, it doesn't hurt at all. So that's kind of great. But it's also probably a bad thing. Like if you take a pretty gnarly fall, see how I said gnarly because I'm talking in snowboarder speak again? If you take a gnarly fall and you don't feel any pain, but you feel weird, this is probably a bad sign. Probably a sign that you've been injured a little bit. So this happens, and my dad's there with me, so he like snowboards up close to me. And I was totally hyperventilating. And I don't know why, it just was, you know. I mean, I know why, it's because I fucking hit my head crazily. And it just was a side effect. So I was doing that, and he was like, he came up and he was like pushing on my chest and like having me touch his chest to feel like and try and match his breathing. It was like some shit from a movie. This is a movie thing they do all the time. This is like the new... It used to be like, all right, we need to slow down this action hero in this movie. Let's give him a kid. And that'll slow him down for a little while until like the sort of finale where the kid is then safe and we're like, all right, now he can go balls out and just get fucking crazy. Like Lethal Weapon. It's like, all right, we'll kidnap his kid so he can't go nuts. But then cut to a little bit later and Riggs is fighting Gary Busey in a fucking rain shower that's created by a destroyed fire hose pipe. Fire engine. Fire. What the fuck do you call those things? Why can't I? Oh my god. Speaking of head injury, I'm just like, what do you call that thing? The fire plug? The fire plug. Boy. Alright, let's just move on. But you know what I'm talking about. The hydrant. You know, I had to think about that. I had to be like, what's the thing that dogs piss on? And I was like, oh yeah, the hydrant. Do dogs really do that? I mean, do they prefer a hydrant over anything else, or is it just like they're just pissing on something, so they're gonna piss on the hydrant? So, yeah, he was like touching my chest, and I was touching his chest, and he was trying to get me to breathe normally again. And I remember my vision was weird too, like it was kind of it's like you're wearing sunglasses, but then there's a hole in the middle of the sunglasses. Like the center of the sunglasses, the center of your vision is normal and bright, but the outskirts are dim. I don't know, there's a lot of fucked up things that happen when you hit your head like that, it turns out. Turns out that there's some fucked up shit that goes on. I remember he was like a crazy skier. I mean, he was a really talented athlete in a lot of ways, but he never skied with poles, like ever. He would only ski with poles on the rare occasion that, you know, he was purposely going to try and do like some moguls and shit, which is like the bumps. Then he would take poles, but he did not like them. I think he felt they slowed him down. And you would be skiing along, and he would come shooting past you, skiing backwards, and, you know, fast as fuck. And this is, like, all how I remember it, because I was a child, right? Like, when you're a child, the way you remember your parents is different. It's more, this is why things like, what's that guy who fought Grendel? Jesus Christ. You know, the hero guy. Beowulf. This is going to be, Pete tries to remember things through his foggy memory and then becomes concerned because he was just talking about how he hit his head. This is why things like Beowulf come to exist, right? Because it's like, well, maybe there's this guy who came and beat up this bigger guy, but then passed down through memory, and it's like how people remember it, and they're like, oh, no, I remember Grendel being this fucking giant monster, and his mom was a huge monster, and it's like, someone who was actually there might have been thinking, and it was an adult at the time, is like, I mean, Grendel was a pretty big, scary dude. His mom was just kind of this lady, and she flipped the fuck out, and Beowulf killed her, and we didn't love that part of the tale. It was a little less epic than we presented it, but we kind of had to put some spin on it, because it was pretty fucking awesome that he killed Grendel. And to be fair, Grendel had it coming, and so did his mom. I mean, Grendel had it coming big time, and then his mom was trying to pretend like this was Beowulf's fault, and Beowulf, who's the real monster here? And it's like, no, I mean, I beat the shit out of your son who's being a real shithead. So let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy in assuming that maybe Beowulf is the enemy. I don't think so. I don't think so, Tim. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's like a good one. Oh, I don't know how much I ever talked about our piano in a sort of controlled way. We got a piano. Now, there were a lot of things that my dad got that I think he got because he did not come from, like, you know, a rich family, let's say. He didn't come from super wealth or anything. And I think that, like, he was almost like an NFL player who gets a lot of money and is like, so what are the things that people with money do? Like, what am I supposed to do right now? I guess I'm supposed to buy this car. You know, and they always buy some unoriginal, dumb car that they absolutely do not need. When really you're like, I think you'd be happy in like a fucking Toyota Tacoma, to be honest with you, but this is fine. And so, like, one of the things, you know, so for example, we took tennis lessons, right? I think this was a little of this, I think, was my stepmom's doing. I think she was a little bit more into, like, us living as a family, living the sort of lifestyles of the, to the fucking economic class to which we were belonging at the time. But anyway, so we took tennis lessons. We did some other bullshit like that. But the real thing was that we went and got a piano. So we're driving up to our condo this one time. I mean, how much of a, like, hoity-toity story is that? It's like, so we're driving to our condo in the Colorado Rocky Mountains, and we made a quick stop to buy a fucking piano for our living room. You know, and the idea was we're going to get this piano so we can all take piano lessons. Which was, I don't know, it was always dumb to me. Like, the things that they had us doing were never things I really wanted to do. Like, did I ever really want to take tennis lessons? I don't remember wanting to take tennis lessons. They wanted us to take swim lessons. I never really wanted to take swim lessons. I mean, I guess, to be fair, I didn't want to do anything. I think the only thing I ever pursued with any level of passion was roller hockey. I kind of enjoyed roller hockey. But I don't know. That was about it. Maybe jogging. I guess I liked that okay. And that was never a big thing. But anyway, we go to this place and it's like a piano store, which is fucking weird, right? Like, oh, I guess there's a store that just sells pianos. I don't even know. I'm sure it doesn't exist anymore, right? Does anyone need a piano? I feel like pianos are now something you put in your house when you're dying because you want to piss off your relatives when they have to come clean out your house, and they're like, why is there a piano here? And they're like, I don't know. He never played the piano. And I'm just laughing from beyond the grave. In the hell that I imagined as a child, because it's like, if there's someone who should go to hell, it's someone who buys a piano for no other reason than to force his living relatives to move it during their time of grief. We go to this piano store, and we just, like, he bought a piano. But he couldn't just buy, like, a piano. It had to be, like, a fancy piano. And here's what's weird, too. He'd had, like, some flirtations, I should say, with some other pianos. We had a thing called Miracle Piano, which was like a thing you hook up. It was like a piano that's hooked up to the computer. And so somehow this was supposed to teach you how to play piano. So you like buy a keyboard, you buy this expensive software, and then you somehow learn to play piano. This obviously didn't work for me. I mean, I don't think there was any teaching me to play a musical instrument, to be honest. So like, whatever. Whatever. But, I don't know. Again, I wish Ian was here, because I feel like maybe he learned some. He was more musically inclined. But, we bought this fucking piano, and it was a piano that you put floppy disks into. The hard floppy disks, as we talked about earlier. And, like, it would memorize what you're playing, and then it would play it back. You know, you could record and then play back, basically. And it was the weirdest thing, because I remember just, we had lessons with this guy named Jeremy, who was probably just some fucking college student, right? I mean, he's just like some guy who was coming to teach us piano. And we must have been the most frustrating students of all time, because it's like, I didn't try at all. I mean, I never practiced in between our piano lessons. I never cared about playing the piano. I had no desire to play the piano. I just, you know, I don't, now I know why. Because when you're a college student and you're getting money to come teach these kids piano, you're just like, whatever. Like, if they don't want to fucking learn, I've done what I can. But, you know, now as an adult, I'm like, if this was me, if someone was like, I want you to teach my kid about, like, fiction writing, because that's something I could probably do, I'd be like, all right. And I would go, and I would be trying to teach them. But if they were basically like, they never read in between the things, they never do any of the assignments I give them, they don't do that, they don't, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, you know, this is going to be pointless if this is what this is going to be like. Like, I can't just come here every week, and then we're starting from scratch every week. And by the end of the lesson, I would always pick up a little bit more. You know, I'd be like a little more proficient than I had been before. But not really. I mean, not like a lot. Just a little bit. Just a teeny tiny bit more able to play the fucking piano. And so then you just go back and forth. So I'd take a lesson, forget it. Take another lesson, forget it. And that was kind of my pattern. My piano rattern. So, you know, I tried to learn the piano. What can I say? All right, I gotta let you go, because I'm trying to get to a fucking place. Thanks for listening, though. And I'm sure I'll see you next time when we'll talk about something else. Something great. Something lovely. There's so many things in the neighborhood. Okay, bye.